Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
You think because you're a celebrity that somehow the law doesn't apply to you, that you're above the law? Well, let me tell you something funny, boy.
Mike Shope.
Sure, go ahead, laugh if you want to. I've seen your type before. Flashy, making the scene.
The Bulldog.
Maybe we can live without libraries, people like you and me. Sure, we're too old to change the world. But what about that kid sitting down, opening a book right now in a branch of the local library and finding drawings of peepees and wee-wees? This is about that kid's right to read a book without getting his mind warped. Maybe that's how you get your kicks, you and your good time buddies.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Well, I got a flash for you, Joy Boy. Party time is over.
All right, happy Friday. We've got a fun game coming up.
Ooh.
Here, this is it. Our friends from Topps Friendly Markets will be stopping by today with some delicious tailgating and party ideas for the game. Save time and have your groceries delivered right to your door when you shop online at TopsMarkets.com. It is now the second week of this promotion with Topps, and it is at the point where I'm like deciding when to eat.
Yeah, right.
When is Topps coming?
Yeah.
And should I eat first?
Yeah. Yeah, I did not plan effectively today. I had a lunch outing planned, and I took part in that and ate a hearty, filling lunch. So I'm not taking full advantage of the opportunity that Topps is going to be presenting us with today. I don't think I'm going to be ready for it.
So sorry.
I know. I feel terrible about it.
All right. So here's a game.
Okay.
No matter what happens Sunday, because it is Josh Allen's first NFL start, this game gets remembered. Remember J.P. Lossman's first NFL start? Oh, maybe you don't.
I don't.
Really?
Is it a Houston home game?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
He threw a touchdown pass. He threw one touchdown pass.
Right, to an offensive lineman?
To
probably?
Jason Peters.
Okay, yeah, okay.
And my sister knows the guy who has the football.
All right.
By the way, you're not supposed to remember.
Sure, I remember that. I wasn't trying to play dumb, but I remember that game.
You remember Jim Kelly's first NFL start?
Jets. Yes.
I do not.
I don't. I don't think I have a lot about what happened. Is there a late interception?
I don't know.
Okay,
Joe, do you remember Jim Kelly's last NFL start?
No, I don't. Definitely not. 96.
96 playoff.
Probably in diapers.
So, Jim Kelly's first NFL start, I wasn't there, but we watched it on TV. It was at home, which was kind of a big deal.
I do not remember watching it on TV either, and that's kind of weird.
September 7th, 1986, the Bills lost the Jets 28-24. Kelly, and this is 1986 numbers. Remember how far a dollar went in 1986?
Mm-hmm.
20 for 33. 292 three touchdowns. Yeah. No interceptions.
No picks. Okay, so there wasn't a late pick then, obviously. All right.
Right. Oh, yeah, I could have told you that, I guess.
Yeah.
292 yards on 20 completions. It's almost what Ryan Fitzpatrick just did. And three touchdowns, no picks, in his first game. Just, you know, including Lossman, top of your head, how many first NFL start Bills quarterbacks have there been between Kelly and now? Like, what's the number?
First NFL starts?
Yes.
Well, let's see. Tool qualifies. What's the number? Five.
Five.
I'm going to say five. Five guys have started their first NFL games for the Bills.
Joe?
I'm going to say seven.
Seven? You can think of guys like, say, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Right, who played before he got here.
Who had played already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Kyle Orton.
Sure.
Or Drew Bledsoe.
Exactly.
13.
13?
I love this.
13?
I count 13 quarterbacks between Kelly and Allen to have made their NFL debuts, starting debuts for the Bills. And if you want, when we're done, I will take a picture of my work and share it.
Okay.
13.
Well, I already mentioned Jeff Toole, so he's let's count him. Put a check mark
turn
next
the music
put
up.
A check mark next to Jeff Toole.
Jeff Toole.
Okay.
What do you remember about the game?
He threw a bomb to Marquise Goodwin.
7-0.
And then maybe nothing else. Oh, red zone interception.
Goal line.
Eric Berry?
No. Shields. I think it's not Eric Berry. It's
I don't have it.
It's another
Shields.
I think Sam Shields.
Okay,
might be a different Shields.
It was Sean Smith.
Sean Smith. SS.
Yeah, okay. Shields is a guard.
Right. Yeah, Will Shields for the Chiefs. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you,
Sean Smith.
Sean Smith.
They scored twice on defense. Maybe.
Yeah.
The Chiefs won 23-13. It is the third most recent Bills quarterback NFL debut start.
Okay.
To figure out how I want to word that. 18 for 39, 229, 1-2. As these things go, not especially significant.
No.
Right?
No.
Like Jeff Toole was filling in.
But it did lead to the existence of Jeff Toole guy.
Oh, sure.
And that was a nice little subculture within Bills fandom.
Jeff Toole guy is Nathan Peterman guy.
Sure. Jeff Toole guy. It was just really, I just like how that sounds more than Nathan Peterman guy. Even. Like Jeff Toole guy.
It's the same guy.
Yes, that's right.
Hey, he deserves a chance.
Right.
And, you don't know.
Right. And so Peterman is on this list too. He made his first start for the Bills last year.
You guys don't watch practice.
Right. Don't rule him out.
Can't rule him out.
You got to get behind him.
Tom Brady.
Rally around him.
This city needs to get behind this, and you guys are in the way.
Yeah, right.
Jeff Toole, November 3rd, 2013, under Doug Marone. Right.
All right.
Jim Kelly to Josh Allen. 13, by my count, NFL quarterbacks made their first career start for the Bills. Toole is one. Lossman is one. And Lossman won. It was 2005, and they beat the Texans.
Right.
David Carr.
I did just mention Nathan Peterman. He started last year against the Chargers.
Is correct. 6 for 14, 66 yards, 5 interceptions.
Now I already feel like an idiot for guessing 5. Because like those, I'm not even trying yet.
Keep going.
Right?
You've got 3.
So
I gave you one of them.
Lossman. Yeah, I think we would have got that one.
I do too.
Okay. Trent Edwards.
Trent Edwards. Were you here? I was in Palm Springs, California for this game. Checking it on my phone. September 30th, 2007, against the Jets, the winless Bills, who would soon play Dallas on Monday Night Football.
Okay.
They beat the Jets, and Edwards went 22 for 28, 234, 1-1. Very respectable. Uh-huh. Very small, like yards per attempt. But
right.
Not terribly, but not good. So, better than I thought. 4.
E.J. Manuel.
Yes. We were at that game.
Yes, we were.
September 8th.
Close loss to New England.
Yes. September 8th, 2013. 18 for 27, 150 yards, and 2 touchdowns for Manuel.
All right.
5. There's your 5.
Yep. There's my 5. Okay.
Got a Brian Brohm game in Atlanta.
Brian Brohm.
He was on the Packers. I'm very confident he did not start for them.
I think you're right.
Brian Brohm, December 27th, 2009, a 31-3 loss in Atlanta, 17 for 29, 146, and 2 picks.
Brian Brohm is the guy that I think of the most prominently when I think about fans hoping, like the desperation of not having a franchise quarterback. He hasn't hurt me yet. I think, you know,
Might as well.
Yeah, let's get, I mean, I can remember sitting in here saying that about Brian Brohm and, you know, kind of half believing it. Like, whatever, just roll him out there. He had a pedigree at one point, Maybe he's good. You never know. That's the guy for that for me, almost more than anyone else. Okay.
Maybe he's good says a lot about this franchise.
Yes, right. Maybe he's good. I don't hate him yet. I haven't watched him destroy any hope that I had in him. So maybe, you know.
Maybe he's good.
Maybe he can do this. Maybe he's good.
Six.
Okay.
13 quarterbacks to make their first NFL start as a Bill between Jim Kelly and Josh Allen. 13. We're at six, and these are a lot of the recent ones.
Okay, well, I want to, between Jim Kelly and 86, Frank Reich is on this list.
Frank Reich, October 16th, 1989, Monday Night Football against the Rams.
I remember that game.
Very memorable game.
Late touchdown to Reed.
Late touchdown to Reed. Flipper Anderson, another late touchdown to Reed to win it.
Okay.
21 for 37, 214, two touchdowns, those, one interception. 23-20.
Okay.
Who was the coach of the Rams?
John Robinson?
Correct.
Wow!
Who was the coach?
Oh, it's going to be a great day.
Who was the coach of the Bills when it was Brian Brohm?
Perry Fuel.
Right.
Wow.
Perry Fuel.
Good job.
Okay, seven.
I have a sneaking suspicion.
Well, you are sneaky Joe.
Because yesterday it was brought up that Matt Cassel started a game, that there's going to be some nonsense with a running back or receiver in here taking a direct snap on the first play, and maybe that would qualify as a start.
We don't have to get to that those depths yet.
Yeah, but I'm having a feeling
you think it's out there.
All right.
Very interesting.
I'm going to go with Alex Van Pelt.
Yes. Remember the game?
No.
I didn't either. I remember the next week because they just sort of messed with me in the press box about where I was allowed to sit.
Oh, okay.
Alex Van Pelt, Bills 9, Dolphins 6, November 2nd, 1997. Van Pelt went a stirring 13 for 22 for 89 yards. And an interception. Marv Levy versus Jimmy Johnson.
Do you know he broke all of Dan Marino's records at Pitt?
The next week, New England was here, and they lost 33-6. And the Bills were like, oh, you know, you can't sit there in this open seat. And then they were like right behind my back telling Fred Smirlis off in the distance, hey, Fred, we've got an open seat. Like just...
Yeah, like you don't even exist.
Like being the Bills.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is why I'm like this.
Now this Fred
that moment is why I'm like.
I was ready to name another guy, and now this I'm thinking about Fred Smirlis's mustache, and so it sort of threw me off the scent of the next name I was about to give you.
Hey, Fred, Mike Schoeppe really doesn't need his wallet. If you just want to take it from him, that's okay with us.
Yeah,
he doesn't really need his clothes. You want to just have those clothes? They probably won't fit you, but help yourself.
Oh, yeah, okay. 97. You just said Todd Collins.
Todd Collins is right. Todd Collins, remember the game?
Vikings.
Oilers.
What?
Last game of the 95 regular season.
Right. He played before he was the official starter.
You know,
right,
it's so long ago, but in all this, what to do with Josh Allen? Todd Collins sat for 2 years behind Kelly.
Right.
Was he good?
No.
Thank you. 12-24-95. Collins, 6 for 15, 30 yards.
Right.
A pick.
He played that game. He played a game the following season against Dallas, a home game.
Which they won.
Right. And then 97, he was the starter against the Vikings.
Collins, that game on Christmas Eve in 95, who are the coaches? Bills, Oilers. I think Steve McNair might be the Houston quarterback. Houston Oilers.
Is this Eli Pitts filling in for Marv?
This is Marv.
Okay, it's Marv. I thought the way you asked it, I thought like...
Who was the Houston coach?
There might have been a trick in there. The Houston coach is not Jack Pardee anymore.
That's right. That would be a good guess, but you're right. It's not him.
It's not him.
Yeah, that's like, I was waiting.
I nailed that.
I said to myself, if you said Jack Pardee, I would say good guess.
I nailed who it's not. Who succeeded him?
Joe, do you know?
Buddy Ryan.
That's a good guess too, but no.
Kevin Gilbride.
No.
June Jones.
Jeff Fisher.
Mouse Davis. Oh, wow. Jeff Fisher.
Jeff Fisher was the opposing coach for Todd Collins' NFL start.
Right back to mustaches.
Go internet.
Oh, Tyrod Taylor.
Tyrod Taylor is correct. Remember the game?
It's too long ago. It's not the Colt game. It's which game? What's the game after the Colt game? I don't remember now.
That's right.
His first start, because Castle, this is from yesterday, Castle gets the start for that home opener.
Castle gets the start at quarterback. Okay. Tyrod Taylor was a starter.
Starting receiver.
For that game as a wide receiver.
Oh, Lord.
And on the first play, he went in motion way behind the quarterback, and there was maybe a handoff to McCoy. Like the Taylor in motion was like a trick.
Right.
And LeSean McCoy ran for like minus 8 yards.
Right.
And then Castle never played again here.
No. Right. And eventually got traded.
What a story.
What is week two that year? This is 3 seasons ago.
Is it New England?
Yes.
New England? Is it home?
This is the game after which Rex Ryan says they didn't run us over.
Oh, right. 600 yards.
Because it was air
yards.
But most
of it was passing.
Rex Ryan thought passing was effeminate.
Right.
So Tyrod Taylor's first NFL quarterback start, technically, September 20th, 2015, a 40-32 loss to New England. Ironically, he threw three picks.
Otherwise, it's kind of a good statistical day for him.
23 for 30, 242, 3 touchdowns.
Right.
A lot of that late.
Yeah, rallying, trying to come back, right? They eventually got it to within, they got it to within 8.
They did. By the way, in that Van Pelt start, I wanted to tell you one more thing about that.
Yeah?
Dan Marino, 5 for 15. And Craig Erickson went in. He must have gotten hurt. Like, did Dan Marino ever get pulled?
No.
I wonder if Thurman remembers that game.
Oh.
Or Steve Tasker. 11-2-97, Van Pelt.
Okay. How many are we up to now?
That is 9.
Oof.
10. 10.
10. 3 more guys to go here.
3 more guys. Who are the 3 guys to have started their first NFL game as quarterback, not yet mentioned, between Jim Kelly and Josh Allen?
Joe, let's you and me, let's us huddle up here on the side here off the air.
Okay.
Thad Lewis.
He started a game for the Browns. Right?
Yeah. I think he's not on this list. Okay, we can go back on the air now.
Okay.
Thad Lewis started a game for Cleveland. Rob Johnson
started a game
for Jacksonville.
Right.
Doug Flutie started a playoff game for Chicago, among other games, before coming to the Bills. So none of those answers is right. Ryan Fitzpatrick started games.
There was a guy that was here for a long time. He was like third string for a while, and I think he played a late season game at Indianapolis. Travis Brown?
That's a name. Craig Knoll.
I don't think he ever started. I don't think he made it out of the preseason.
I think you're thinking of a game in Miami, Travis Brown, the game that was rescheduled from 9/11.
Okay.
But I don't think he started. I'm going to look.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
No problem.
I don't think Knoll played technically for the Bills. I don't think. I could be wrong. But
Travis Brown never started an NFL game.
Never started. Okay.
Maybe they had Matt Castle then.
Right.
Okay.
Are we counting playoff games as first career start?
I mean, I think you could.
I think if you have to answer that, this guy's not on the list. I'm thinking Joe Webb. Maybe he would have taken a direct snap to start a game, and he would have started for Minnesota in the playoffs, but not in the regular season.
I see. No, yeah, I don't see him as ever being a Bills starter.
No.
Technically. Or any other Lee.
How obscure are the other 3 that we don't have?
Well, I'll give you a hint. It was within a span of 15 days. All 3 started their first NFL games for the Bills in a span of 15 days.
This should be memorable then. Holy crap.
I've gotten nothing at all.
3 different starters.
It makes me very happy.
Over the span of 15 days.
These are the moments when I wish everybody in the world was tuned in. This is one of those moments.
Oh.
By the way, Tops coming over soon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Some cookie
pizza.
Pork enchilada chili, I think that they're bringing. I'm intrigued by that.
Wrap. A wrap and a burrito. They're bringing two things. A wrap and a burrito. If it doesn't have cumin in it, it's not a burrito.
If you give us the year, it's probably going to give it away.
Yeah, but I will.
Yeah.
If you want.
Oh, I just...
Here's another hint. I'm pretty sure none of them ever started another NFL game. They were all one and done within a span of 3 weeks.
Jabron Hamdan.
Nope.
No.
I don't know.
A lot of you out there know it. A lot of you out there know it.
Oh, this is really hurting me.
Was it a mistake to start the day here?
Oh, no. I mean...
I don't want to eat at right, you know, before this.
Yeah, no. I don't know. I mean I like to arc towards something like this. But you know, it's fine. If you give us the year and I still can't get it, how embarrassed and mad am I gonna be?
You'll get it as soon as I say the year.
Yeah.
But you might not get the names, you'll just get the point.
Yeah. Why don't I have it? What are the horrible years? 2001.
No what?
No, nothing. I'm thinking of that year, and I'm just there's
the Bills went 7-8 this season. If these three guys might have been better, they could have won the Super Bowl. Maybe they get in the playoffs. You never know. Instead, Indianapolis won the division.
So 7-8 is 89. Or, excuse me, 87. That's strike year. So Kelly's already here.
He's on strike.
He's on strike. Yeah, I don't...
The three strike games are the answer.
Right. I don't remember who...
No, that's all right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't assume you would remember their names.
Yeah.
But the strike is what we were going for.
Right, it's the strike.
The strike.
Right.
Dan Minucci, yeah. Willie Totten, and Brian McClure are the three.
All right.
Three more
quarterbacks
to have made their starting debuts in the league for the Bills between Kelly and Allen. Was that bad?
No.
Are you sort of upset about that?
No. I'm not at all. I mean... Not sitting here remembering how many games strike players played in 1987 doesn't make me feel bad. Not knowing Brian McClure or Willie Totten doesn't make me feel bad. I remember Dan Minucci. So, I mean, I guess that was gettable.
7 for 20, 68 yards and two picks in the Hogaboom game.
Wow, yeah.
The Hogaboom game, Joe.
Yeah, no, I don't feel like that. I mean, that you know, that happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't feel, but I'm in a good place on all of it. It was a fair question, and I don't feel bad not having known it.
Okay. 13 is the answer.
And I'm also not getting, like, inundated by tweets that are saying, like, somebody really obvious that I forgot. So I feel all right here.
Okay. Josh Allen will be the 14th, by my count, I might have missed something here, but the 14th player, 14th quarterback to make his NFL starting debut for the Bills since Jim Kelly did. 803-0550. Now... How do you think it will go? Is saying... What?
Do we have to talk about that?
No. I think I have to tell you how I think it will go.
Okay.
But that's as far as it goes.
Yeah. No,
you
I'm,
tell me.
I'm willing to talk about it. I'm just kidding around.
Is it ridiculous? Like, so yesterday, the day before, I heard it referenced this morning. Is it ridiculous to look at this game and think that a loss could be okay?
I don't think that's ridiculous at all.
We'll talk about that. 803-0550. Sal Capaccio here for the roundtable later. Picks and more. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
6-2 last year, I believe, at home. We talk about defending our dirt quite a bit here. Playing in front of our fans, one of the, to me, the most passionate fan base in the NFL goes a long way towards creating a home field advantage and giving our guys some energy and making it loud on opposing quarterbacks. Being able to do that is very beneficial for us.
That is Bills coach Sean McDermott.
We're talking about
winning
at home,
defending the dirt.
Defending the dirt.
I don't think he used that phrase in that clip.
He did.
He did. I was right at the beginning. I must have missed it. I scrambled in here. Not really. I just wasn't paying attention. Shh. Don't tell anyone.
I don't really want to even think about that.
What's that?
Defending the dirt.
Oh.
Just going to get all annoyed.
Well, don't do that.
No, right. It's Friday. They're bringing pizza.
Right.
Who cares?
Cookie pizza.
Well, if he wants to say defend the dirt, then he should say defend the dirt. It's not even dirt. They have not been a good home team.
They were last year, though. Like his first year here, they were good. 6-2. He just said it.
So. 6-2. They lost to New England and New Orleans.
Right.
Not in that order.
Right.
All right. We'll give you that. Last year, they had a good home record.
Yep.
But, you know, past that, it's not like there's some sort of special tradition of winning here or anything like that.
No, that's long
since. It's not dirt. It's black rubber pellets. That's what they want to be defending.
That's long since
black, gross black rubber pellets that are somehow buried in that green part. That's what they're defending.
Yeah.
Defend, but it doesn't roll off the tongue quite the same way.
No, that's right. Defend the dirt sounds more football-y.
Is it ridiculous to, and this, I know how you feel, I think mostly agree, anybody who wants to say it's ridiculous should think, maybe I want to call in and say that, 803-0550. Is it ridiculous that there is a result Sunday that has the Bills losing, but we feel good? Like that Kelly game, I know it's so long ago, but that would have been such a game.
Right.
Where you thought, we lost, but this was fun, and there's hope.
Oh my gosh, if Josh Allen throws for almost 300 yards, and Kelly had 3 touchdowns in that opener with no picks, I'm doing a Mary Lou Retton tumble run on the way to the press box to do the post-game show with you, or on the way to the broadcast booth. We were in the press box watching the game. That's a fantastic result. I think it is. I don't think it's ridiculous, therefore, but I do think it can be in a certain way kind of embarrassing. This team won 9 games last year and was in the playoffs, and they have, you know, further dismantled themselves to the point where people on the outside objectively are talking about them being the worst team in the league. So there's a certain level of, I think, like, you shouldn't be proud of that, but in the big scheme of things, what I'm signing up for here this year was always going to be about how good is the quarterback I pick. Before he had a name and a face, how good is that guy going to be? And if that guy shows up on Sunday and throws 3 touchdowns, no picks, and almost 300 yards, that's a win for that. And that's more important than what their record is going to be this year. So I don't think that's ridiculous. I think they could be open to criticism again, you know, dialing it all the way back to how they've put the roster together and what the long-range vision here is. To some extent, I think a certain kind of fan go, like, it's pro sports, you should be trying to win. And they'll tell you they're trying to win. And okay, but I'm not that invested in whether they win or lose.
It's a good thing you don't have to fight. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I want the quarterback to develop. That's it.
Why did I think I could not have waited 2 more seconds? It's a good thing you don't have to get real answers from teams, from mm-hmm. sports people, because they're like, what team has ever said we're not winning is not our number one goal?
Right.
Right.
They always say that.
They always say that. It means nothing when they say that, because they only ever say that. Is there a day Sunday you can see where they lose but you feel good? Did that Baltimore game do such damage, or does all this sort of give you that impression that I don't need to win here. I just want to not feel like these games are all going to be as bad as last week, or that Josh Allen has no chance, or that they can't block for him, or anything like along those lines, where you walk out of there on Sunday going, what happens now? I mean, I like a good story. It's interesting to talk about, but really, like, you're cringing in certain... Mm-hmm. If you can see a game like the last one where mm-hmm. you'd be cringing, like, oh.
Right.
What are they going to do? Right. So maybe... they can look good and still lose, and you'd feel better. 803-0550. Just want to know, like, how ridiculous that sounds. Maybe not at all. Here's Mike with us on WGR. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Great, great. Yeah, you know what? I don't think it's got to be crazy if we lose, and I don't think all of us have real high expectations this season. I'm thinking we might have take a little step back this year before we make a nice long run, I hope. But that being said, last week, yeah, we lost big to the Ravens. This week we got the Chargers, and they're both AFC opponents. So what I'm thinking is, just in case, the outside shot that we pick up some decent games in the middle and possibly make a run for the playoffs, kind of like it happened last year, this could hurt us in a tiebreaker or something. So even though it's not AFC East, it's still AFC teams, and I think if you can grab one of them, you try and get it.
Wow. I mean, what a thing to be thinking about. Good for you, right? Good for you. Like, okay, that's all I can say.
Yeah,
about
I mean,
it.
I have
thinking about playoff tiebreakers.
I mean, I have a very hard time getting to that if my starting point is, you know, really, I was saying earlier in the week, my starting point is just don't light yourself on fire. That's my starting point, is just don't, like you just said, like, don't have me at 4 o'clock going, what are they gonna do now? What happens next? That went horribly wrong. Peterman was a disaster. Now what?
It is possible.
Yes. I mostly want to avoid that, and that is not just like for my own professional sanity. It's you know, just it bums me out when it's that bad. So I want this Allen thing to show some promise. I want to at least get it on the road. All right, like get out on the highway and like get the cruise control on and like let's take it for a spin and see how she handles. And if it's not going to be over when it starts this week, if it goes badly, really badly, but it would just be like, I got to pull over already. You know, like I didn't even get up to highway speed, let alone exceed the speed limit. And
that's what you want from this game is highway speed.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to set the cruise at like 73 and be like, I think I'm good here. I'm in that pocket where the radar is not, they're not going to come for me. There'd be somebody going faster. I'm all good, but I'm making good time. I'm rolling. That's what you want.
Dan is with us. Thank you, Mike. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. Thanks for calling.
I would feel good. I was thinking about it while I was listening. I would feel good if the score ends up being 49-45. Josh Allen throws for 4 touchdowns. LeSean McCoy runs for 2. Stephen Hauschka kicks a 58-yard field goal fourth quarter to put us in 1-score range. And then at the very end of the game, it ends because Josh Allen hit Kelvin Benjamin in the numbers, but Benjamin dropped it. And you're like, well, quarterback looks good. That probably won't happen every time. And then we get, you know, Benjamin's not here forever.
Yes, thank you, Dan. I'd also take the highest scoring game in the league this year.
Yes!
That'd be fun. I agree. And the kicker, that would be, I'd probably faint if they kicked a 50. No, I think all of that would be really fun.
They will probably, I would bet on them trying a 58-yard field goal at some point this season.
I feel like if all of that, all else happens, everything he said happens, and you can see like there's only a few seconds left and there might be a Hail Mary coming up, I think I just not want to see it because I would assume it would be exactly what he said. Somehow he knew.
Right.
I think I wouldn't even look. Tom is with us next. Hi, Tom.
Hi, guys. I wouldn't take a Peterman stat line from Allen this week, but I would take 200 yards, maybe a touchdown or two, but, I mean, nice-looking throws, throwing guys open, throwing downfield. I mean, those are all positives. I mean, even if it turns, like you always say, well, dog, if it turns crooked, I would even take that. And I would walk away and be happy with that. And I also want to talk to you guys. Do you think McDermott is long for here if this is not working out? I mean, he was the one that pushed it back a year. And, I mean, Bean wasn't on that draft. Bean was on this draft, and he pushed it back a year. We're waiting. We go with Allen. I mean, I think that this guy's, you know, job is on the line. I don't think he's long for the season next year if it goes bad again early next year.
Right. I think he's safe through this offseason, almost, you know, barring just something just epic here in the form of Allen being really bad or something else unforeseen going really poorly. But I think if Allen doesn't establish himself as someone to be optimistic about going into 2019, then McDermott is like he warrants being high on any kind of list of guys who are in trouble going into the season. Because as soon as Allen is going sideways, and I would say if he's not trending in the right direction after this year, that would equate to sideways to me, then next year, that's how fast McDermott's in trouble to me. Yeah. I don't think it happens before then. I think we're all talking about it, but within the organization, I don't think he's in trouble until next year starts and Allen is not working.
Well, I'll say something about this. It's obviously early to be talking about this too seriously. I feel like Rex Ryan and Dan Bylsma taught me a lesson about this with the Pegulas. I mean, they were new. They still relatively are new, but I just both times with those coaches thought, no way are they out already. Because if Terry hasn't said it, I feel like he would have. That one thing that needs to change around here is we need more stability. He seems like the stability type.
Mm-hmm.
That we want to have people who can... Well, I would have said that before. Like, we want to have people who we can grow with and learn with us, and they learn from us and all that. And Rex Ryan was 2 years, not even. And Dan Bylsma was 2 years. He took his cup ring and left, was fired. Like, I thought that was, in both times, I was surprised, if not shocked, by that. Because I didn't see that as their style. So now the lesson I'm walking around with is you never know. And here McDermott showed up on a list, on a betting line, as the third favorite to be the first coach in the league fired this year. And so, you know, maybe they don't know anything. Bettors often do know stuff that we don't, but I don't want to assume anything.
Yeah.
I don't want to assume anything. Like, now he's kind of a punching bag with the press conferences and Peterman again. And if this is bad, I mean, really, your hopes now ride on Josh Allen from Wyoming being really good. Not just okay. Not just won't get you killed. Not just won't make you a laughingstock, but actually being really good. That's what you need out of that draft pick to make it worth making. So we're there. Not immediately,
right?
But that's now the path.
Yeah.
And short of that, these kinds of questions will be asked all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand why you'd say don't sleep on any of it. I saw both of those coming to me. Bylsma and Ryan didn't surprise me when they happened. I mean, it was fast, but I think you could see the writing was there. So in this instance, like I think barring a real, real mess here, that's out there. I think it's next year, and you've got some time for Allen to sort of establish that you should have some optimism about him. But if that does not exist, then I think anything's possible. But I think he's okay through this offseason. In part because they acted so quickly on these other guys, even though one's a different sport. I think they want some stability and would be reluctant to do that again. Unless it got just completely untenable.
They might look at Rex Ryan as having been a knee-jerk decision. After Marone quit, they had owned the team for less than a year. And that McDermott represented, okay, we'll get someone young here that we really like and trust, and we'll just ride this out for a while. But I don't know. I'm not confident about predicting that because of the recent past. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here with phone lines open at 803-0550. We're here for you until 7. Sal Capaccio comes along at 5. This is WGR.
We've got that group of guys who, you know, until last two seasons, all they knew were going to the playoffs. They thought it was automatic. And, you know, they like that. And so they want to get back there.
Marvin Lewis. And his point is, his players enjoyed making the playoffs and want to do that again.
Right. They were upset. They missed it the last 2 years when they did not make the playoffs. How many guys on that team have been there for, like, all of that?
A few.
Dalton, Green, Geno Atkins. Yeah, okay, there's some.
A few. Perfect, maybe? I don't know. He's coming back soon, too. I don't know if he goes back that far. I think I don't know if I'll just be honest. Like, I'm sort of happy about this. I think my quarterback stat, our game from earlier this hour, checks out.
Oh, good. I assumed it did. You're pretty thorough about that stuff.
But it's easy to make a mistake. Like, yeah. Did one of these guys start for another team? Did maybe one of the other guys I didn't mention not start for another team?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mark Dalton, who was with the Bills in PR and now is in Arizona, saw the tweet. I tweeted the names and everything. I think I worded it right. Like, he's, of all the guys I've ever known, when he texts me with a question, I'm worried.
Right, right. I
because
right.
I think he would be right. Like, of anybody I've ever met, I think Mark would be the guy I would most likely expect to have me in a mistake. And I don't think he does. He was wondering about Dan Minucci, but Minucci was on the team in 1979.
Right.
Maybe he came out of retirement to cross the line for the 87 strike. And I don't know if he was even active after that first game. The first game went very badly
right.
for him, and he did not play again.
Right.
Or at least start again.
And he did not start a game when he was with the team prior to that.
Right.
Right.
He was a backup
right.
for almost all the 79 season,
right.
but never starter.
That's why I remember his name is from that more than the strike. I don't remember him from the strike at all.
Here's Mike with us. Hello, Mike.
Hello there.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great, and thanks for taking my call.
All right.
I just want to chime in terms of what would be a nice Sunday. How about a defense that swarms and sacks and blitzes and just, to me, what saved us the last season was their defense. And we're talking so much about the quarterback. It's like, I just want to see some good hard-nosed football. And hopefully this kid doesn't get killed. And that would be entertaining for me.
I like it. I like it. Thank you, Mike. We had a call the other day saying, what about the defense here? And I thought, you know what? Good point.
They've kind of got a pass.
How about
much.
Stop them at all?
Right.
Because Sunday, that didn't happen either, right. really. Baltimore did almost anything it wanted
yeah.
Until they took their guys out, at least. Last night, they lost.
Right.
They got down 28-7 to Cincinnati, eventually lost 34-23. I like the Bengals. I was glad to see them win. I got a little action with them, and 2-0 is pretty good.
Yep. I don't have any action on the Bengals, but I also like them. I wish I would have bet them to win the division because I was thinking that they would have a chance to do that. And that wasn't really thinking about Le'Veon Bell or anything, but – you know, and that impacting the Steelers negatively, not that it really has or in the past or has already. But nonetheless, yeah, that's a pretty sweet-looking team, I think.
We'll get back to your calls on Sunday. What's a good day that – is there such a thing as a good day that they don't win, where they don't win? How low are our, expectations or needs, I guess, for them at this point? Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, looking forward to hearing from more of you after this timeout and the update on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.